It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go on a Monday. Cofield and Company on the road. Here's some of the noise in the background. We are at yet another day club, one of the best in town. Marquee on this Monday. Haven't been out here before, but this should be really cool. It's Steve's here. Summer tour stop number one, as Nai Zaragoza is here co-hosting. We're going to have a cavalcade of stars throughout the show. What's going on?
It's going down, y'all. Let me tell you, it is a vibe here at Marquee. It is beautiful. We got our regulars out here to support. So, yeah, excited to be here.
Was that a smile on your face with the regulars?
Yeah. Wait, I want him to hear me, too.
With our buddy Derek, who is probably our most loyal listener.
Very loyal.
And gives us a lot of feedback. I felt like there was a treaty being finished off, or an accord. You were coming to an agreement. Like, let's chill it a little bit. I think I heard you tell Derek, well, it's your delivery sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He's strong.
And he tells me it's my delivery, too. And yeah. I will say, I will not listen to everybody, but from a loyal listener who is familiar with Steve Cofield's game, a little bit of advice is nice as well, because no one is perfect. There are things that we need to get better in and excel in and advance in. So I will take that advice. He is harsh on me, but sometimes I need people to be harsh on me, because that's how I'm going to get better.
He's harsh on everyone. He's harsh on all of us, so which I can appreciate.
Let me tell y'all, every single day he is loyal. Ladies, you know, we're always searching for a loyal man. This man is loyal about what he believes. I will tell you that.
Loyal to Sports Talk. I have no idea about his private life, but I know his daughter's a high achiever. So, yeah, we're set up here with Steve Shear, Marquee. Beautiful day. I mean, perfect day. What do we got, 100 degrees today? It's a little cooler than it's been for the last few weeks. And we are going to talk to Cindy from Bottle Girl Diaries. I know you're down with that one in a little bit, and the guy, the man with the plan, Griffin, is going to join us. Not that Griffin, a different Griffin, who's running things out here at Marquee and Tao. So that's coming up, and then we have some good guest spots as well. Regular on Monday, Steve Shear. So, well, let's get into the news of the day. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to get into. If it weren't for the Raiders and the starting quarterback gig, I think we'd be talking a lot of WNBA today. We'll get to it eventually. But, yeah, yesterday, it's weird. So we watched Saturday night, and then yesterday the decision is made, and I saw a lot of people making a big deal of it. I don't feel like that jazzed one way or the other. I'm not mad. I'm not happy. Listen to, and that's the vibe that AP gave off. Antonio Pierce here talks about what the guys did in the game. He's basically like, no one won the job, but I have to name someone.
You can't take one. You can't take the good and not take the bad, right? So wish it ended well for both gentlemen, right? And it just didn't. And we'll look at it. We'll evaluate. They both had opportunities. Aiden had 20 attempts, and Minshew had 21. So about as balanced as we can get it, and we'll look at it. Obviously, you saw what our plan was tonight. Throw the ball around. Let these guys showcase what they can do.
I'm sorry. I found that hilarious. And then I found guys like Ian Rappaport from NFL Network, like trying to do. He's doing a walk around. Like he's got a big scoop about the quarterback. And I'm like, I mean, I guess. Saturday, I didn't think Saturday was very good. I thought Minshew should get the job, but he didn't do anything to win it. And honestly, Akon had a chance, but then he threw a pick six, and he was kind of ordinary. It's a weird zone that the Raiders are in right now with starting quarterback.
It's an extremely weird zone, but I will say a lot of people are getting worked up, and it's honestly way too early for that. My expectations for that game were a lot higher than what the Raiders played out. I will say that. AOC did have his better moments than Gardner Minshew. I knew that Gardner Minshew was going to get that starting position because you don't pay a backup quarterback that much not to start. You're at least going to allow him to get that start. And to be honest, they're both going to be playing throughout the season. We're going to see AOC start, and we'll see Gardner Minshew start.
That's the best statement of all, is that's why this doesn't really matter. Like you want Gardner Minshew to come out of the gates and play well at the beginning of the season, but in all likelihood, they're not that they're going to rotate within a game. I don't think either guy can hold on to the job for more than three or four games. You hope as a Raiders fan that one of them gets hot. I don't know if they can. I do trust Minshew, based on his experience, to have some moments where he gets hot and they can win some games, but I'm not sitting here. I mean, I would love to scream and yell like, you know, Aiden O'Connell sucks. Like, he doesn't suck, and Minshew's not great, so there's really no knockdown, drag-out brawl that we need to have over this starting gig. But, I mean, I kind of understand what AP said. I don't know if you saw, he made the statement about it's what they needed early in the season, which I don't know if everyone understood what he was saying there. Because, yeah, they do need to get off to a decent start. And here's the thing. If they don't, then they are going to turn to Aiden O'Connell. And then I don't know how far in the season it's going to be, Nye. Maybe they get out of the gates like 5-3. But if they don't, and they're like 2-6, then the goal at that point is to develop Aiden O'Connell, decide if he can play quarterback anywhere in the NFL. And also, if you lose games, you lose games, and then you're looking ahead to next year.
Yeah, which is why I see why so many Raider fans are nervous from the production that they've seen against the Dallas Cowboys on Saturday. The thing with Gardner Minshew is a lot of people doubt him, but we see what he was able to do last year with the Colts. 62 completion percentage, threw for over 3,000 yards. He only played in 13 games. He still had really great production. Still had really great production. We're acting like he's just... he's not a bad bridge quarterback until the Raiders find their one and only, shall I say. But everyone's acting like he can't get the job done. I will say with Gardner Minshew, a storyline that I heard was that AOC... Gardner Minshew does better when he's under pressure and when he's put in within a couple games rather than starting. I've heard those storylines as well. So I guess it's going to be an entirely new storyline with a new offensive line that he's working with and through, which I'm happy that they picked the starting quarterback now, because those things are going to – there's some – I'm going to have to just comb through these hairs with Gardner Minshew. That's exactly what we're going to be doing, combing through hairs, literally, working things out so that they can be prepared for the Los Angeles Chargers game one.
Aiden O'Connell on Saturday, 14-20, 96 yards, a touchdown, interception, but the pick six was terrible. Minshew, very ordinary, 10-21, 95 yards, no touchdowns, zero interceptions. We found a rando fan on TikTok who I think repped a lot of fans in what she was saying, disappointed about the game against the backup Cowboys.
I just got back from a Raiders game, and I'm not going to lie, being a Raiders fan is like the movie Bring It On. We got really good cheerleaders and a really sucky football team.
Too harsh? We got really good cheerleaders and a really sucky football team.
I would say that's what a lot of people are getting or receiving from what the Raiders have been dealing with the past couple of years, but I don't agree with anything she's saying. If you only ride when your team is winning, then you're just a passenger. You're not a rider. True ride or dies are going to get through the most toughest times, because I bet you when the Raiders turn it around and one day it's the playoffs and then potentially the Super Bowl, I'm going to speak life into the Raiders, everybody's going to be right in that Raiders bandwagon.
What are you going to do if that lady in particular says, I was there! I was there the whole time!
Maybe you just got to get your emotions intact.
Ooh, all right. Let's do a giveaway early in the show here. We got Future coming to town. We Trust You Tour, T-Mobile Arena coming up Friday at the end of the month on the 30th, AXS.com, AXS.com, caller 7, caller 7, caller 7, 364-1100, tickets to see Future. We're coming back here to Marquee, Las Vegas, Day Club. We're right here on the Strip, Cosmopolitan. Come on by. We're here until 6. We'll probably stay up until about 7 o'clock hanging out afterwards. Nye is here. It's Cofield. We got all of our regulars, and Steve Sears on the way.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Mateo, can you...
Times, we're live here, Marquee, Cofield and Company. That's the voice of Steve Sears. That's pretty consistent every show we do. As soon as we come back from break, Steve's like, oh, can you do that? Like,
I know, no. Hey, first of all, we've been doing this for 2 decades.
You are the best,
is this
man.
One of the cool...
Uh-oh. You lost the local volume.
Is this one of the... Get ready, Griffin! Is this one of the coolest venues we've ever done? I mean, Sapphire Pool's up there just because it was topless and all that
stuff. I'm being tortured by the whirlpool right there.
And we both have co-hosts now that are like beautiful women. We've come a long way. That's all I'm going to say.
Whoa, HR violation at Lotus. Nye's very professional.
Steve, I think he's trying to hit on you over here.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, is that what happened? He is beautiful.
Steve is the catch.
Yeah. So we got Nye, Cindy, Griffin Tendler, the director of marketing at Tao. Let's get him going. And Steve Sear, so we got a full house.
Well, I'll tell you, I was just talking to the ladies earlier. You know, when I first started my career, you know, way before they were born, we didn't have nightclubs in casinos. There was a place called the Shark Club that Jerry Tarkanian, the basketball coach, owned, and a place called Shark.
You blanked already.
Shark Club and I can't remember the other one. But anyway,
you
I
wanted to talk about light because light came after that. No, we had the beach.
I was in a meeting and they said we're going to have a nightclub in a casino and it's going to be called Light. I go, that will never work. And then I went to another meeting with Peter Morton. He said we're going to have a Sunday, a checkout day pool party, and we're going to call it Rehab and charge the guys $50. And now, I mean, we're with the director of marketing of Tao. I mean, you have like 80 locations. I mean, tell us that. Is that amazing, Cofield?
So what's the most exotic place? Vegas is exotic, but like this is exotic. But what's the most exotic place that you're in, or people will be surprised that you have one there? You have a property? Okay. Isn't it? So what's that one like? Really? Okay. And you can get pretty well there. I know Singapore is actually very conservative, surprisingly.
It's a town property.
Yeah. Okay. So they're like, you have to understand who we are. We're
going
to get wild.
They bought Hakkasan. Nobody knows that. They own Hakkasan. So anyway, for our viewers and our listeners, I mean, we're in a cabana now. We have our own private jacuzzi in front of us. Then we've got big sofas that are around another swimming pool. You've got a DJ area. And at night, when it's the main nightclub is on, they can come out here, correct? Okay. So is that... Cofield's never been here. Never met. What is Deep House? You're going to have to... Remember, our listeners have no clue what that means.
All right.
I mean, Cindy knows what that means, but I don't know what that means.
Deep House is like it's like one beat. I don't know. It's just, I guess you think like when you, I think about Ibiza when I think of Deep House, right?
I think of drugs.
I feel like it's like a slow motion EDM.
Yeah,
I think of drugs.
You can really feel like the vibes. Exactly.
Lots of people like to do psychedelics when they listen to Deep House, right? I can't either.
I mean, not here legally at all. Probably doesn't happen here. Did you try to turn the old guy thing on me? You're like, he doesn't know
how deep
House is.
I'm the oldest guy on the set right now.
But you're more a club guy than I am.
I like going to clubs. I think it's fun for birthdays and stuff. I don't want to go all the time. I think my daughter, by the way, that's my daughter, a videographer, goes a lot more than me. But when I have a group in, and this is what I tell guys because I get this all the time. They say, I'm not going to spend, like, what is a bottle at Tao at night? $500, $1,000, just general. Well, here. Okay, $800. If you got four dudes, chip in $200 each and buy a bottle, damn it. Else you're going to wait in line. You're still going to spend, no girl's going to come talk to you. You all chip in and buy a bottle. Am I right, ladies?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then you got a shot. You got a home base. Just everybody chip in and buy a bottle. I agree.
All right. But.
Well, this is Bottle Girl Diaries right here.
But there's a little bit more to it than just buying a bottle. Like, you don't want to be drinking, like, a bottle of Jameson. Girls typically don't drink that. You want to have, like, a good vodka, a good tequila, and maybe some champagne. Some 1942.
Hold on.
Take notes.
There you go.
Wait, I am literally going to write down, so not Jameson.
Oh, yeah, no.
I mean, Jameson's for, like... the one guy out of the group that only drinks Jameson, right? But, I mean, you're never going to get a bunch of girls that's like, yes, get me a Jameson and Coke. They're like, I want a cranberry vodka, I want a glass of champagne, or I want a shot of a premium tequila, right?
Yep.
I feel like you could always judge a table by what they're drinking.
Yes.
You're like, wow. I'm not going to go over there because why are you drinking a bottle of Smirnoff?
Cofield, we got no shot. We'd have Bud Light.
Now, Steve, I got to turn it to you because, yep, okay. You know, I know you're old. Well, I guess you're just a little older, right? You begin casino hosting in 1985. Tell me about the process with that. There were no clubs.
Oh yeah, there were no clubs, and all back then my job was easier because guess what it was? Eat, drink, gamble. That was it. And then every now and then we'd have Wayne Newton or a show that was cool, you know. But now, let's just say like my glory days at the Hard Rock. A couple comes in, she wants to go to the pool party. I got to comp a couple thousand. Now they're tired because they've been in the heat drinking all day. Then what do? They go to the room and shower. Oh, now she wants to go to a nice dinner, Nobu at the Hard Rock. Okay, that's good. That's another couple thousand. Then, well, I want to go see Santana in the joint. Great, got to put him in the skybox. You know, that's like $800. Then they wanted to go to Body English, the nightclub. When are you going to gamble? Dude, I need 5 hours a day at 1% of your bankroll. That's how I earn.
That's his life.
I earn 16% of that action. I need 4 or 5 hours a day. So it it's hurt me. And back in the day, Nike.
What about the poker tables in the pool at rehab?
Well, and the, if you win or lose at the poker, you're winning other people's money. I don't earn that.
Fair enough.
Okay, so I need you to play blackjack or dice or slots, and I need 4 or 5 hours a day. So back in the day, my department was 80% of the revenue. Now it's a third you, nightlife. It's a third convention and hotel and a third gambling. So I'm not the big swinging guy in the room anymore.
Things change, man. Things evolve, right? I mean, I'll give an example. In radio, we used to do a ton of business with the gentlemen's clubs.
Yep.
But according to a lot of those guys, you take them during the day, you wipe out a lot of the dudes.
And then, sometimes.
And then a lot, right? I was just talking about the gentlemen's clubs, that a lot of gentlemen's clubs, because of the evolving of the market, now they're like, we have to fight a lot harder to get especially young males out because they love the pool parties.
It is.
They love the day clubs.
And, you know, you go to a strip club and you spend $1,000. I'd rather spend $1,000 here.
Yep.
You know.
And everybody knows, you know, strippers don't actually like you.
And so...
Does everyone know that?
I mean, you'd hope by this point.
So here's a question.
You have a better shot here.
I have a good question, and Cindy can answer it, and Griffin can answer it. Do you need a club host? Because I see all these long lines that, you know, I know everybody's talking about. What is your advice to our listeners? I want to go to Tao. Mm-hmm. I want to come to Marquee. Do I need a club host, or do I just go online? What do I do?
I think it depends on your budget. I would say if you're going to buy a table, a club host will do way more for you than just purchasing the table online will. They'll help you out around town, you know, get you dinners at, you know, any of the restaurants within Cosmo while you're here. If you're more of the GA feel and you're just coming in to bar spend, you know, just buy a ticket. You bypass the giant guest list line. Sometimes those guest list lines can be 2-3 hours long, depending on the night. But whereas if you just buy your ticket, it gets you past all the line.
Okay.
I think it's better to have a club host, honestly, because not only will that host be your contact for that specific venue, but he's got contacts that he can help. Okay, yeah, maybe they're not coming to Marquee every night, but they want to go to Excess. You have somebody that can help them. Plus, 9 times out of 10, people are coming to Vegas for a celebration, right?
Yep.
That way, like, oh, you know, I really want to show my friend a good time. It's her bachelorette. That host is going to be able to at least help you know what to order so you can get a really fun sparkler presentation going. And, you know, and if you're a guy in Vegas, like, where the sparklers go, the girls go.
Yeah, and especially
I like that. I like that. That's where the sparklers go.
Girls like sparkly things, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and especially with Tao Group, because we own most of the nightclubs, you know, we have Marquee, we have Jewel, we have Hakkasan, Omnia, Tao Nightclub. That one host is going to help you at all the locations, not just Marquee.
Yeah, and so many restaurant venues, too. I think that's another thing that people don't think of. Like, me and my boys want to go to dinner. Okay, you're coming to Marquee. They might set you up at Beauty in Essex first to come over here, and you're in the same hotel. Boom, one and done.
Yep.
So I think it's very important to have a club host if you are wanting table service, for sure.
100%.
All right. See, Cofield will just call me, but, yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Tell me this. With all the locations, you guys are kind of hooked together, right? Everyone's joined. How do you think that is, I guess, like a staple in being able to compete in a very healthy way with the ones that are not, you know, I guess, with you guys, like Fountain Blue or any of the other ones? Like, how do you guys obtain that competition?
I'd say everybody is very competitive. So but they're on different levels of competition. You know that a certain nightclub's not going to be able to compete against a different nightclub. But Tao Group is such a powerhouse that we have the ability to compete in every sector of what somebody's looking for, whether it's hip-hop, whether it's house music, standard EDM, or maybe just a good all-around party.
I like
party.
Old Red. I got to tell you, I have a blast of Old Red.
We don't have a country
Kansas.
Venue.
Where you
we
go.
Do have a couple like, country parties
I like
every
Stoney's,
now
too. Just saying, I'm from Kansas, and have you guys been to Old Red? It's four stories. It's a lot of fun.
Yep.
I'm a hip hop gal. Where am I going?
Me too.
Ooh.
Where are we going?
Dre's.
Yeah.
Well, oh, okay,
but,
though.
You know, I'd say Jewel, Tao Nightclub.
Yeah.
We have Mustard all the time at Marquee.
Tyga.
Tyga, we got, yeah, coming Tyga. Up on Labor Day weekend. We got Tyga and Pauly D, yeah. Back, you know, back-to-back mm-hmm. nights.
Yep. My favorite place to go, hands down, is the barbershop. I like live music. I think it's a cool vibe. I end up at the barbershop. Plus, Naz, who's going to play later, is one of the house bands there. And I just love the barbershop vibe. That's kind of my
barbershop's jam. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you can't go wrong with anything at the Cosmo.
And Cofield, you haven't been to any of these places, have you? Steve, you have been to zero of these places. You need me to get you out more.
I do. I do need you. So I do. Whether I've been there or not, I'm going to say I need you. But you help. Say I've been to 10% of the Navy.
All right, but that's good. We're going to get out more. You know,
more work to do, right?
And
to make
me cool. We should put him on
probably
the spot now because 11 years now, we've done Bikini Tug of War September 17th to plug it. Tao should have a team.
We're talking about it.
We should have a team.
Really?
Yeah, that would be good. We've had Hakkasan has had a team before, which I guess that is Tao, but yeah, yep. Hakkasan had a team before.
Tao can do a team, and then I'll talk to the Zoot girlies and see if they want to do a team. We'll get it going.
Yeah.
How competitive is this, right?
Oh, unbelievable.
As women,
oh
we God. Are like competitors.
They
we want to win.
So into
Cindy,
it.
I want to know from your perspective, like, how do you prepare for that, for one? And how do you obtain your attitude when you're here competing against all the other women?
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I have a whole channel that, like, uplifts women and teaches them how to, like, carry themselves right in the industry. I am a competitive person, but I'm a nice competitive person. And in this industry, you know, I will say that, yeah, you know, every club kind of competes, but we're all also a family, too, because one thing I love about, like, especially nightlife hosts is, like, maybe you guys have somebody come into our venue. I love that you guys, share, you know what I mean? Like, you guys are really good about that. I feel like it can be competitive, but I'm a nice competitive person, so I'm not the right person to ask. Like, if I'm going to beat the person, cool, but I'm going to shake her hand after,
I like
you know.
That.
A little more on the tug of war back. You want to stay around for 5 more minutes?
Sure.
So Griffin's here, marketing director of marketing with Tao Group, Cindy Nye. Steve's here. We'll come back. Steve Kim's coming up in about 15 minutes.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN, Las Vegas.
I'll take Daniel Jones over Dak Prescott 100 out of 100 times. And I think most people would agree with
you. You think most people would agree with you?
Most people would agree.
Based
with
on last year, I'd agree with you, but over their careers, no, I wouldn't.
Based
like
on the
agree.
Projection of where both of these players are going.
All together in the tiki, 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 tiki room. In the tiki, 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 tiki room.
Daniel Jones, not so hot weekend for the Raiders quarterbacks, but you got to give the job to someone. So it's Gardner Minshew. Steve Sears here. Sydney's here. Griffin from Tao Group. Last couple minutes with Griffin Tendler. He's the director of marketing. So we were talking about what's going to happen when it gets cold, right? This
yep.
place does not close. You were telling me before you've got a dome. I wonder what that is.
Wait, yeah. This is open year-round?
This is open. Marquee is the only day club in Vegas that's open year-round. In the winter, we bring the Marquee, what we call the Marquee Day Club Dome. It's a giant covering that takes, you know, a week and a half to build and install. It allows us to have pool parties all winter long, 85 degrees, so the summer never ends for us at Marquee.
The dome is something that is used in other parts of the country. I was saying to you during the break that it looks like a bigger version of what they've got over at Ellis Island, which is very cool at the front yard. But this is something that's used all over the world at different clubs and different venues?
No, so this one is specifically built for this pool. Okay. But the designer who builds it builds similar things around, like, Ultra Miami Music Festival, EDC, stuff like that.
Oh, so it's a temporary structure.
It's a temporary
so
structure.
It goes away.
Yeah, it comes up in October and leaves by about March.
Wow.
Yep.
So how about the pools? Are we heated? Are we lukewarm?
Pools are heated.
Are the waitresses still in bikinis?
Yes, they are.
Damn. Okay. Good
but
question.
But they've got a dome over it. It's heated. I mean, I'm going to be honest. It's a great concept. So, and for people who come to Vegas all year round, they want the pool parties. So, very good concept.
Yep.
It's a great concept, and I will say, even for the bottle girls, like, it keeps money in your guys' pockets and employment as well, because I know 100%. That in the beach club world, you usually take the winters off, so that's nice as well.
Yeah, it gives us the opportunity to throw a lot of cool parties in the winter, whether it's day club or nightclub. My favorite party that we did in the nightclub last year in Dome was called Polar Paradise. I turned it into a giant snow globe.
Oh, that's dope.
We partnered with Spiegel World downstairs at the ski lodge, brought their performers up.
Wait, time out. Is there really snow? No.
I brought in artificial snow machines.
I bet the cleaning ladies loved you after that.
Oh, no, it was basically, they were like the bubble snow machine. So it all
I know what you're talking about.
As soon as it hit the ground, it was gone.
Cofield, we have to go to this kind of stuff.
Yes.
Well, I can tell you Polar Paradise is coming back.
Okay.
So
we're in.
I don't know if I believe Steve Cofield.
What, then I'm going to come back?
I don't know if I believe that he would be a regular at the beach clubs or any club.
I would.
You would, because you've been doing this for years.
Yeah.
I don't want to say back in the day, but back in the day, yeah.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
I work a lot now, but yeah, I would.
I work a lot. I work for 9 casinos. Nobody works more than me. Come on, 9. 9 casinos.
Which means you're a party animal. That's exactly what I'm getting from that.
Yeah, okay.
I'll hang at a pool anytime. I was over at MGM the other day. I had some friends in town. That was a good setup.
A pool and a beach club are two different things.
Two different things.
You're right. I did not go into Wet Republic, but you know, I was close.
That's a fun time.
Well, we just met, so now maybe I can go.
Now you know you're hooked up everywhere.
We got to get him into Wet Republic on a Zed day or something like that. He will love it.
All right.
Actually, or even over at Tao Beach.
Yeah, Tao Beach.
Yep.
So many options.
I'm going to guess a lot of our listeners would never go, but if they go, like these guys behind have all – these are my players from around the United States that are in town right now, and they're, this is so cool. So if you get them here once, you got them. That's the key, I think.
I think you underestimate guys in the U.S. They come to Vegas. They know that all the girls are at nightclubs and day clubs. And
I get that.
They know this is where the fun is.
I get that.
Steve, we're like 89% male listeners, and it is 18+. So, I mean, young guys listen to Sports Talk Radio.
Yep.
So, believe me, they know about places like this.
Sorry, 18 to 20-year-olds.
Well, that, you know what I mean.
A couple more years.
So, wait, so 11% of your listeners are female?
Yes. We're trying to grow it, yeah.
Okay. I would have.
I might be low on that because that could be a stat from 5 years ago. We might be up to 15-17%.
Because I got to tell you, when I first started, I had very few female players, and I'm almost 50-50.
Oh, wow.
I have $2 million female players, and one is a trader, and her husband walks about 10 feet behind her. Mrs. B will call. I give her a high chair at the dice table. She's a Chicago Board of Trade. She trades stocks all day. So when she comes and Jack, her husband, she'll be like, Jack, I'm talking to Steven. And I wear a suit and tie. I don't cuss. And all she does is play dice.
Sounds like a boss.
She brings a million. But She
Mr. B answered. Does he say he's allowed to talk?
Yes, honey. Yes,
is that right?
Yeah.
I like that kind of setup.
He's happy all day. Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Anyway,
not a bad gig.
Yeah, it is. It's a very good gig. You got a football team?
Broncos.
Really?
Didn't do bad yesterday, but
like
preseason.
Our dear friend Mateo over here.
There we go. You know, it's preseason. You know, we haven't been good since Manning.
I got to say, through 2 weeks of preseason, you guys are maybe looking better at quarterback.
I'm hoping.
Bo Nix is old, but he's a rookie. So
I mean, so I'm convinced that Elway doesn't want anybody to beat his legacy, so he'll keep running the Broncos into the ground.
Yeah. I bet the over. I put a grand on your 5.5. I think they're going to be more than 5.5.
I think they told Elway pretty much not to buzz off because he's a legend, but he doesn't have too much influence now. He actually admitted a couple months ago. He's like, I didn't get the job done.
Yeah.
At quarterback, I just didn't. I didn't do it. I picked the wrong guys. I misjudged it. So,
well, I mean, what other team fires their head coach and then rehires him for the D? Doesn't make any sense.
I know. It's a weird organization. They shouldn't be this bad because they've always been a good organization.
Yep.
You just got in a bizarro land.
I know.
Well, nice meeting you.
Nice meeting
you, too.
Thanks for having me.
This is Dynamite.
Yeah, of course.
Really good time here.
And Cofield, I don't know if we should be streaming this because we're going to be out of a job. They'd much rather have these two than us two.
they're on camera. They're on camera. Nye's here. Cindy's here. Steve's here. You guys are all coming back. Nye's sticking with me. Coming up, we're going to talk to Steve Kim and get into we're going to talk a little WNBA today. Believe it or not, on sports radio. Becoming very popular.
We've had Nikki Fargus on, I'm real close with. Yeah, the Aces president. Yeah, she's cool.
Stay with us. Marquee Day Club on a Monday.
Steve Kim, the host of the Three Knockdown Rule podcast, joins Cofield and Company, presented by Snack Nutrition.
Marquee Day Club on a Monday. I almost wanted to stay a Friday. We're usually at a pool on Fridays over at Circa Stadium Swim. But today, nice job by the Cosmopolitan hosting the show. We just talked to Griffin Tendler, the director of marketing. Nye is here, Nye Zaragoza. These guys are really busting my chops. Like I'm some old fart who never goes out. I was just telling you, I go out. I'm getting a complex.
You know, you do things like that you enjoy, like traveling and and anything to do with sports, really.
I do like pools. So I might have to call in some favors.
He
now
likes
that I know.
Family pools, guys. Let's get it correct. family pools.
Not so much.
Different than beach club.
Actually, the funny thing is, it's the complete opposite. When we go on vacation, we're like, it is adults. I do not want to be around kids. Yeah. So we have a long history on the show. If you're a parent, sorry. Steve Kim is with us. Steve, we're hanging out at the pool. Yet another pool party here. Marquee Day Club. How you doing, buddy? Rough life.
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
We're good. We're having a good time. Real good time. I want to get some boxing in a couple minutes. We got a lot of cool stories and issues to get to this week, but we're going to go back in the time machine, and then I'm going to show how old I am again. I know you were looking forward to the college football season. We got week zero coming up. Week zero meant something different in the past. From roughly 1983 to 2002, there was the old kickoff classic.
Yeah, and I remember the first game. I was a young child in Valencia, California, and it was the defending national champions, Penn State, playing this powerhouse Nebraska team, which had lost a very contentious game to the Nittany Lions in Happy Valley, and Nebraska just murdered them. They looked like the future national champions all the way up until they played the Orange Bowl, and there was no such thing as Week Zero for all those years, Steve. And I remember in 1990, they added the Disneyland Pigskin Classic in Anaheim Stadium, which hosted the Rams at the time, and they actually had a really good game. It was top 10 Colorado, led by Cordell Stewart. No, not Cordell Stewart. It was Eric Bieniemy and Darian Hagan and Mike Pritchard against a really good Tennessee team that ended up in a 31-31 tie. And yes, kids, college football used to have ties back then. And now we have this thing called Week Zero where we're playing games in Dublin, Ireland. How times have changed.
Yes, yes. I saw a lot of people responding to you, your followers, saying, hey, I was at this kickoff classic and that one. I should have responded. I was actually the first one. I actually went to that game as a kid. It's funny. I remember back, my father was never really a big sports fan, but somehow I got to go to all these games. Like, he was a good dad. And I, as a kid, you know, as you're prone to as a kid, you root for the winners. So I was kind of a Nebraska fan. And I guess that maybe began my early hatred of Penn State. And boy, oh boy, do I not like Penn State. But yeah, I was sitting in the upper deck in one of the end zones. I got a nice foam finger, Cornhusker foam finger. And like you said, Turner Gill and company just beat the snot out of Penn State. So now what we have, like you said, are the specialty games. And you do know that we've got one of those games. Now, it's not week zero, it's week one. And this is good business for Vegas. On September 1st, LSU and USC are going to be here, and they've already sold more than 60,000 seats.
Yeah, and I know people going to that game, and with the way college football is now basically going to be the AFC and NFC one day soon, look, if Miami ever plays with one of those Las Vegas games, I will be there. I absolutely will. The whole landscape is changing. You know, I went to the 1999 game when Miami played Ohio State at the Meadowlands, and that was a really good memory for me. Look, these games are a lot of fun. I don't know what Week Zero does. I don't know why they just don't call it Week One, but it's interesting. This Week Zero, there's actually a game that I do want to see late at night. SMU plays, and they have a host of former ex-Hurricanes, and I actually think they're going to be a pretty good team in the ACC. So, look, it's football. I think NFL preseason football has become almost unwatchable, and I used to actually like preseason football, believe it or not. But the fact that none of these players really plays anymore, if even the allure of that has been lost to me. So I'm actually looking forward to Florida State at Georgia Tech. I actually think, I'm not calling for the upset special, but I think Georgia Tech will play them tough for at least a half, maybe three quarters.
So I wanted to mention Miami does play Utah in the 2027 opener here. But here's the thing, and I don't know if you meant this when you said it that way. Will they play? Because by 2027... there might be an AFC and an NFC, a have and have nots. And the scary thing is, Kyle Whittingham talked about it last week, and I think he was off on the numbers. He was saying there might be a top 40 or a top 60. Honestly, Steve, teams like schools, like Miami, would they be in the top 40? Would they make the cut?
Oh, yeah. Look, with that team, even though we've had a bad two decades, and anyone can have a bad two decades, right? They wouldn't be in it. It's a major media market. They have some history. Look, I hate this realignment. The fact that schools like Oregon State and Washington State are now orphans, and the fact that a lot of good football schools that aren't necessarily blue blood are almost like, it's like that last scene in Escape from Saigon. I don't like it. I enjoyed having multiple conferences that all had their own identities and traditions. By the way, I think the Big 12 is actually a very underrated conference this year. I like the top half of it. I don't like the direction it's going, but this is the reality. There's nothing we can do to stop it. But Miami is going to have to make a decision. I don't think they're going to get into the SEC. My understanding is they have their hopes set on the Big 10. which is fine. But honestly, I didn't hate the idea that had Miami and some other schools shifting over to the Big 12. I don't know what is the difference between having three or four major conferences as opposed to just two big conglomerates. Again, I like the regionality of college football, but unfortunately, that has been thrown out the window.
Steve Kim is with us at SteveKim323 up on Twitter. I don't like to see anyone get fired, whether I like them or not. I don't want to see people unemployed. RG3 and Sam Ponder were axed by ESPN very close to the football season. What's a bigger story or has some more storylines to it between the two of those?
Well, they're certainly connected based on the timing. Me and Whitlock talked about it at length, I think on Thursday or Friday's show. Look, it's clear, Samantha Ponder got fired because she would not be Samantha Pander to certain cultural beliefs and norms and movements. When she came out as strongly as she did, basically saying, protect our young women, women should only play women's sports, you saw the way Dan Orlovsky backed away from his comments. I don't want to demonize anybody here, but you would think that comments like that, which do not come out against anything, but really about common sense, it wouldn't threaten your job. But obviously, at that particular corporation with the mouse ears, taking those stances obviously has ramifications.
Why is Mina Kimes now in the crosshairs?
Well, because she's lying, and she's crying, and she's whining. This is not the first time she's been caught making false statements, pointing the finger at people, and then when asked to bring actual evidence, she just cowers and blocks people. And I think one of the issues is that Mina Kimes is very, very political, which is fine, but there's a particular pattern over there at that company. You cannot espouse or amplify conservative views, but if you're on the other side of the spectrum, which is her right, you seem to have a free rein. And look, I know that there's this big battle between her and Clay Travis and OutKick. You can claim that OutKick is harassing her. Okay, but at the same time, she's actually given no evidence that they have spread lies about her. And then for her to say that I'm now being harassed with claims of racism and misogyny, she seems to do this a lot. That she seems to be her go-to card when facing any type of heat.
Steve Kim is with us, host of 3 Knockdown Rule. I know you're getting ready to do that. You were teasing that you have a special guest. It's an active boxer. Are we going to break it on the show or are we going to wait?
You know what? I'm going to give you a world exclusive. You only one. It's going to be world-leading middleweight contender Hamza Shahraz, who's rated in the top 10 by all of the sanctioning bodies. He's an English fighter who trains out here with Ricky Funes at the 10 Goose Boxing Club. He's already considered one of the top 3 or 4 middleweights in the world. He'll be fighting September 21st. Underneath the Anthony Joshua Daniel Dubois undercard. He's a 6'3", 160-pound fighter who can really crack with both hands, and we're very excited to have him in for a segment.
All right, Christian and Billy, 168 pounds. I feel like there's so many guys in this 154 up to 168 range that have been making great fights. So what's his future and how did he look?
Well, I thought he looked okay. Look, I don't think he's a great fighter, but what's more important to me is he's very entertaining. You're going to get a fight. He's, as I said in my column today for snack.com, he's not one of these guys that pitches perfect games. He's a hit and get hit fighter. And look, you can make an argument that, hey, he looked somewhat vulnerable against a fighter that busted his bicep early in the fight and was a handicapped boxer. But, you know, when I'm watching boxing more and more now, I'm not looking for perfection or even necessarily greatness, Steve. I'm looking to be entertained. Did I see a night of fights? And on Saturday night, two things stood out. That Christian and Billy might be vulnerable. He can get probably beat at a certain level. But he's also a lot of fun, and you're not going to get cheated out of your money. And before that, Abdullah Mason, the young man out of Cleveland that Top Rank's been developing for about 3 years now, he might be the best American prospect in the whole sport.
Let's build on getting cheated out of your money. I hope that doesn't happen with the Raiders. Listen, Nye's here. It's Cofield, Marquee Day Club. Steve Kim is with us. I know both of these guys, Aiden O'Connell and Minshew, aren't great. I just hope they can move the ball, set up the defense for some good times, score some points. But it's quite a situation. I saw you reacting to some of the comments. I don't think a lot of people around NFL fandom even knew who was in the running. And I think when they saw it yesterday, they were like, whoa, Gardner Minshew, huh?
Well, Gardner has been a serviceable kind of a spot starter, probably an elite backup. I mean, the question then becomes, what's his effectiveness over a 17-game season? You know, Steve, did you hear that report that Josh McDaniel turned down a deal during the last draft to bring, like, C.J. Stroud or one of those standout quarterbacks? That is a devastating piece of information if I'm a Raider fan.
That's a five-year blunder. It's a 4 or 5-year blunder to make up for something like that, because not only not making the deal, but the guy turned out.
If it is, look, that's not a 4 or 5-year blunder. That's a 15-year blunder. I mean, it is hard to find good quarterbacks. Generally, every generation, you have about 6 to 7 guys that can really play, and 2 or 3 that are incredibly elite that give you a chance to at least get to the playoffs 4 out of every 5 years. And for the Raiders to give up a chance, or one man, to torpedo a deal that could bring you a guy, and I'm going to make a prediction right now, and I've said this on other shows, I believe by the end of this year, C.J. Stroud will be considered a top 5 quarterback. And those do not grow on trees.
All right, we're split on that one, so we'll track this throughout the year. I think he's going to – I'm going to fade him this year, but it is believable that he could be awesome. He came out of the gates really well last year. Let's close on this one, and, you know, covering boxing, and Steve Kim's main beat is covering boxing. Steve Kim 323 up on Twitter. The characters in boxing are kind of amazing, and I'm not going to say that, like, anything Oscar De La Hoya that's been turned up lately is – shocked me, because nothing shocks me about any guy or really any woman in the case of Holly Saunders, but was there some kind of video bouncing around with De La Hoya and Saunders? What's going on here?
Yeah, last night, and I think it's been scrubbed clean by Oscar, not knowing that within a minute, I think 15,000 people probably took screenshots and screen grabs and downloaded their video, all for educational purposes only, of course. And look, they were scantily clad. Oscar actually did have a Speedo on, just so you know, if you've seen the thing. TMZ reported on it. Look, Oscar's at that stage of his life, he doesn't give a damn. I think for so long, he tried to play this role as this angelic, perfect corporate pitch man, that at this stage of his life, because even now on Twitter, he'll go back at people that want to heckle him. He's not just going to go gently into the night. And, you know, Oscar has FU money. He has a certain freedom. He is basically his own boss. He owns property. He owns his own business. He's got a lot of money going on in different places. I think other people probably would be jeopardizing their economic health if they did something like this. But for Oscar, especially since he's been with Holly, who's actually been very good for him, this seems to be par for the course.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, and I only got like 20 seconds left here, he's kind of a poor man's Dana White. Dana White doesn't give a damn. He does whatever he wants. I mean, he had the incident down in Cabo. There was a slapping incident. You know, Oscar had his cross-dressing incident. People move on. And with guys like that, they're like, I don't care. I'm rich. I'm going to do what I want. I'm not going to say sorry. I'm going to do what I want.
Right. And so I'll just end it like this. The golden boy is really Teflon. He's not golden.
Maybe he never was, to your point. All right, Steve. We'll be looking for 3 Knockdown Rule. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
3 Knockdown Rule. Excellent podcast. He does that with Mario Lopez each and every week in L.A. Come back with us. Hour number 2 is on the way. Reno is in. We'll open the hour with a special rendition of the national anthem on guitar. Naz is back.